Hey, this is Jonathan Goodman, and I have super exciting news. My book is almost here. It's called The Obvious Choice, and I wanted to invite you to join the book launch team. To join, all that you need to do is send me a DM on either Twitter or Instagram that says launch. I'm at It's Coach Goodman, and I'll give you all of the information there. Hope to see you in the group. Cool. Well, Ryan, good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Same questions. Who are you? Who do you work with? What are we talking about?
So I am Ryan Calley. I work with 30 and 40-year-olds in committed relationships who are looking to transform their physique without restrictive dieting or wasting their time in the gym. I was an in-person trainer for about 4.5 years at a gym. I live in the Bay Area, so California. But I was an in-person trainer for about 4.5 years. And honestly, the last year and a half of me being an in-person trainer, I just every day was thinking about taking the leap into the online world. And so beginning of 2023 was when I started that. And I actually was in a mentorship program prior to OTM that did not pan out to be what I thought it was going to be. And so took the leap, took the risk. That experience didn't pay off, but I'm like super happy that I jumped into OTM because of everything that I'm learning and starting to see pay off for me right now. And really, I feel like the biggest challenge for me is just like the transition into systematizing things for myself online while taking imperfect action, like trying to put as much action into place while like providing the best service for my clients and then playing catch up almost of like, okay, well, this part of my business is changing, implementing Trainerize, or this part of my business is changing, implementing the Facebook group and all that. So I feel like those right now are the biggest challenges for me moving forward to be able to continue to scale what it is that I'm doing.
What about that gives you pause for concern? What about that makes you feel uneasy?
I would say it's just something that I'm not very tech savvy. A lot of it is just me learning on the fly. So it's like, I like to be very crystal clear on like what it is that I'm doing so that I can then communicate that to everyone that I'm serving online so that I'm giving them the best possible service that I can. So it's really the clarity of like, do I have all of this in my mind, how I want it to go? And then I can then provide that to everyone else.
Can I tell you a story?
Please.
There's a physicist, really famous physicist. His name was Richard Feynman. Worked on the Manhattan Project. And there's a story about him where he had this house in Pasadena, California connection, right? He had this house in Pasadena that had a bathtub in it. And he noticed one day that these ants were crawling along the bathtub, along the edge of the bathtub. And they were going in almost a perfectly straight line to and from, back and forth. And so he got curious. He's like, what's going on? Like, these ants can't talk to one another. Like, how do they know to follow each other in this straight line? Right. And so what he did is he took a little piece of sugar and he put it on the other end of the bathtub, like way out of their path. And he waited for one of the ants to find that sugar. And one of the ants eventually did. And then it made its way back to the nest. But the ant making its way back to the nest was not a straight line. It was a wiggly line. It was full of arrows. It didn't know what direction it was going. And so Feynman took a marker and he actually traced the ant's path. Then he waited for a second ant to find that sugar. And he found the sugar. And then that ant made its way back to the nest. And again, it was wiggly, full of arrows, but a few less arrows than the first time. And so Feynman traced that ant's path. And he did this for 10 ants. And when he noticed that the last few ants had an almost perfect line straight back. Now, we now know why this happens. At the time, they didn't, but basically ants have this pouch in their stomach that secretes pheromones. And the pheromones, what they do is the other ants, when the ant finds their path or finds their destination, they secrete this pheromone out of their stomach. Other ants smell that pheromone. They follow the path. And then they also know that they're in the path and they secrete pheromones. And then so it's a self-reinforcing loop, right? The more ants that follow the path, the more pheromones, the more self-reinforcing loop. So that's how ants follow a straight path to and from. And what Feynman later said about this is he says, you know, it's something like sketching. You draw a bad line at first and then you just keep sketching over it anew every time, making it a little bit straighter every time, making it a little bit more efficient. There was an entomologist who was asked about Feynman's sketching theorem, and he was asked, he said, you know, is there a book that I can read to learn more about this? And the entomologist said, yeah, there is. It's called The Origin of Species by Charles Darwin. What I'm getting at here is you're never going to have it figured out.
Right.
Ever. None of us do. The idea is so prevalent. I feel it all the time too, man, of like, yo, when I finally get these systems set up, I remember saying to my dad one time, like way back when, this is like my father's episode. I remember saying to my dad back way back when I was starting, I was like, yeah, you know, when I finally build this automation, this is like back in like email automation days, I'm like, when I finally build this automation, you know, the business is going to work so smoothly. And he gave that laugh that like a father only knows. That fathers only laugh whenever their son just doesn't get it. Like it was that laugh.
Gotcha.
And he just looked at me and he's just like, John, business is just one fucking thing after another. Mm-hmm. it's never gonna like work perfectly. So I tell you all this because it sounds like you're sketching,
mm-hmm.
which is a really good thing. Part of the nervousness we have found with the people that we've worked with comes to how they feel like their clients view them. You know, if this isn't set up perfectly, if I don't put it on a silver platter to my clients, they're going to think we make up stories in our own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that. I think the best thing that we can do is just involve them in the process. Hey, really exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, is almost here, and I wanted to invite you to join the book launch team. Now, for those of you who don't know, The Obvious Choice teaches you how to get more customers and pray to social media gods less. Shopify's president said that if you're selling something, you need this book in your life. So what's the book launch team? For context, I've done 8 different million-dollar launches online, and I've never shared my strategies up until now. Because if you join the book launch team, you're going to get, in addition to a chance to win $10,000 in cash prizes, the entire behind the scenes of the launch. You're going to get exclusive and early chapters. You're going to get a couple of different presentations from me and access to me, in addition to networking with other amazing people like you. So, in order to join the book launch team, if you are interested, I'd love to see you in there. Send me a DM, please, on either Instagram or Twitter. I'm at It's Coach Goodman. That just says launch. And what I'll do is I'll send you all of the information. Thanks so much. Hope to see you in there. Hey, trying to make this better for you. But I'll be honest. Look, I am an expert in fitness. I am not an expert in technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm building this out. Would you be part of this experiment with me?
Mm-hmm.
We found it makes a big difference when you ask for permission and permission to involve them in the process.
Yeah.
What parts of the process are giving you concerns? Is it setting up on an app or what?
Originally it was because going back to the tech savviness thing, it's just like I've never been on Trainerize. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to be, I was literally using Google Sheets to deliver workouts to people and track their macros and weight and things like that. And so, yeah, just being kind of the figurehead or the coach or the leader and helping them understand like, okay, this is how you navigate this and supplying them with the necessary resources for them to have it just go smoothly. Sure. Again, just because I want everyone to have a legit experience with me as their coach, because yeah. I'm paying a good chunk of money for it. And I just want to have the experience overall, no matter what the result is, the experience is something that I think is important for them to get a lot out of.
Can you think of an experience that you had? It could be in coaching. But it could also be just like in a store, like something you bought where you came out of that as the customer and you were like, that felt really good. Like, can you think of something off the top of your head?
Yeah. I mean, I think like just little pop-up shops or little things where like I can tell someone else is having their own path with their small business, and they're doing the same things where they're trying to provide like as much value as they can with trying to explain their product or things like that. Just walking away from something like that, not necessarily anything, one specific thing that I can think of, but like little things like that, that it's a farmer's market or it's something that I've been to, like some type of convention or something like that, where I can tell people really have a lot of passion for what they're doing. That always, like, I always walk away and I'm like, damn, that was like cool to just learn more about and just be in the presence of someone that is passionate like that. So those types of things for sure.
Be in the presence of somebody passionate about that. Give me an example. When did you walk? What booth at a farmer's market are you thinking about right now?
It could be something as simple as like some type of like hummus or some type of like, I'm like, this person is like, they're dedicated to just hummus and like providing as good quality of a product of hummus that they possibly can. So that's something that I guess I'm thinking about, like just in my local farmer's market, something that I went to a couple of weeks ago.
This
So
is the most
something like that.
stereotypically Californian story, by the way, I think
Exactly,
you could have possibly imagined.
for sure.
Buying a hummus at a farmer's market. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me you're from the Bay Area without telling me you're from the Bay Area. Do you also do jujitsu? So what can you take from that? I mean, because I agree with you. I love being around people who are unjustifiably obsessed with whatever weird nonsense they're unjustifiably obsessed with. Bro, if I could show you my Ken Griffey Jr. baseball cards collection, you would shake your head just like my wife shakes her head every single time I get a new delivery. But I love it. And that attracts people to you. Most people don't care, but it attracts people to you. So I agree with you. Not so much on the hummus thing, but so what's your thing then?
I
Because
think
that'll overcome any tech insecurity, anything, right? Like you're talking about selling hummus at a farmer's market. Like they don't have a good sign, I promise. You
No, I
know?
think that like that passion is, to your point, like a magnetic field that just draws you in. And it's like something that people, no matter if they are interested or passionate about, like that makes them want to be a little bit more interested or invested in whatever it is. So I think like just how that applies to me, just providing as much value and just trying to be as passionate and as energetic and as positive as possible for the people that I'm serving, especially within the Facebook community, because that's something that I just literally implemented this past week. So like just being in there, being relentless with everything that I'm giving them, which eventually I think will grow into sort of this camaraderie within a community that I think is important that people need in fitness, but also in just in life in general.
Okay, so here's I think what I'll leave this on then is because you live in the Bay Area and there's farmers markets everywhere. I mean, as you're walking around for the next week or two, try to pay attention to times where you just, for whatever reason, feel drawn to somebody or something. Like it's kind of hard to describe, but like, oh, that felt really good. Like that interaction felt great. Or I bought this thing from that guy and it was $17 hummus, and hummus shouldn't cost $17, but I still feel good buying $17 hummus from that guy. Like, why is that? And just, play around with, oh, like this dude couldn't stop telling me about where he got his chickpeas from. And I didn't really care. I kind of zoned out, to be honest. But I really loved his energy. And you bought in and you liked the guy because he's so into it. Pay attention to that stuff for the next week or two. See how you can kind of bring that into what you do. Over-explain stuff, but do it with excitement. Like this is your life. Like this is what you eat, sleep, and breathe. I promise you, man, how good or not good your tech is set up won't make a difference
Gotcha.
if you can get that down. Yeah, if you can get that obsession down.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that for sure. Appreciate it.
Cool, man. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, thank you.